With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Bernie, it's a good transition when you talk about the idea of your personal experiences, because I don't think enough people recognize or remember that there are a lot of parallels between where Aaron Judge is right now and where you were after the 1998 season. You had just finished the best season of your career, right? You won the batting title, won a World Series again, won a Gold Glove. You were 30 years old and you were a free agent. And you know, I think a lot of people do remember, but I think there's enough people who just don't remember what actually entailed. You were gone. You were a Boston Red Sox. You were out, and the Yankees were moving on. They were going to Albert Bell, and it didn't, you know, we forget some of that because you came back. You signed an 8-year contract, took you through age 38, which is probably about the area where Aaron Judge is, you know, looking to get signed through. What's the process like? From your standpoint, from your family standpoint, listen, the money is the money, and we all know that, but there's an idea of playing in this place versus playing in that place and taking your family here or taking your family there. And what personally you feel making this decision about leaving the only organization you've ever known, can you shed a little bit of light from your personal experiences on what Aaron Judge might be going through right now?
Well, yeah, from my own experience, I think that it's a really complicated process. It's a complicated process mentally, and it's a complicated process emotionally, because, you know, in my case, the Yankees was the only organization that I knew. I grew up with them. I was a minor leaguer with them. I signed with them, and I spent 5.5 years with them before I became a Major League Baseball player. And obviously they gave me the opportunity, and I had to go through my own struggles to establish myself. A little bit of fortune, a little bit of luck, a little bit of hard work, a little bit of being in the right place at the right time, having the right people advocating for me in certain circumstances. All of those things allowed me to remain as a Yankee up until the point that I became a free agent. But you have to realize that, you know, you're spending whatever it is, the time that you spend in the minor leagues, you have no leverage at all.
Right.
You have a certain amount of time in the big leagues that you have absolutely no leverage, or have a little bit more leverage, but not really the leverage that you should have as a free agent. And if you see any other organization, any other company, you know, you go from like Microsoft to Google to Apple to whatever, you know, there's no qualms. You know, you go to the organization and you go to the company that gives you the best opportunity to have a better career, a better future for yourself and your family, and you can allow yourself to retire and with the best possibilities. And in sports, it's a little bit different, because you create this rapport with the fans, and as long as you know that you're important in the organization, that you have some value, there is always this side of you that wants to go out there and see what's out there for you. to see, to give you that opportunity, give yourself that opportunity to see if there's anything out there better, because you have earned that opportunity.
You have one chance, realistically.
You have one chance. As I think, maybe Aaron may have at this point, at 30, this is basically the best deal that you're going to get, the longest amount of time that you're going to get in a contract, and the best, long-term situation that you're going to get yourself into. So you want to make sure that it is the best, and not necessarily regarding the money, because the money is just one part of the thing. It's your playing, how comfortable you are with the organization, how comfortable you are with the city. If you have family, in my case, I had a family, I had kids. They all have already had their friends, their school already set up. I have, my wife at the time, and everybody was kind of like set in a place. And for me to move that whole operation from one place to another and starting from scratch, it was going to be a big ordeal.
Can I stop you there for a second? Because that's an important point that I don't think enough people really understand. You're a real person like the rest of us. You talked about your kids and their friends and where they're going to school and what your wife thinks. How much, you were a free agent for approximately a month before you signed. It was like right before Thanksgiving, which felt like a long time then. Now it's just part of the process. But how much of that time is spent in the internal struggle with your family and wondering if you're making the right move for them?
Yeah, it was a struggle. It was a struggle because in the back of your mind, you're looking after your best interest and the best interest of your family. At the same time, you're a little bit hurt because you're going through a situation that in your mind shouldn't even happen in the first place if they really wanted you. But you learn not to take that in a personal way and saying this is just the business part of the game that you have to deal with. Yeah. And they're looking after their best interest too. They're trying to get you as cheap as they can. So you got to make your move and you try to, make sure that you are putting yourself in the best situation that you could be successful. But there are so many variables that come into play, coming into a city that you don't know. Every time you come into a city that you do not know and the people don't know you, you're always going to try your hardest to try to make sure that they know that they made the right decision. And you're going to try hard and you're going to try maybe too hard, and it's going to be a period of adjustment that you don't have to go through in the organization that you're with. You don't have to go through that process. So there's this tug of war between, do they want me enough, to sign me? Am I happy where I am? Is the grass going to be greener on the other side? Is there amount of money that they're offering me? Is that going to be able to offset, the ordeal that I'm going to go with, with my family and removing and doing all this other stuff? And you have to put all of that in consideration to make your decision. So I'm pretty sure that that's what Aaron is going through right now. And it's hard because, those decisions that you make, they're going to affect, the way that you're going to be, compensated for the rest of your career. It's just kind of like one thing kind of goes on top of the other and builds on that block. If you, have make a bad deal, that's going to carry you through, through the next deal that you make. And when you're talking about 5, 6, 7, 8 years, that's, that's a life changing thing. So I'm pretty sure that with the year that Aaron had, he's going to be well compensated everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a matter of, first of all, having an opportunity to be happy where he's at. Doesn't matter how much money he's making, he has to be happy. And two, I think it will be probably in his mind also, he has to be in a team that will give him an opportunity to be a champion, to have that ring. Maybe it may not matter the first couple of years of the contract, but as he gets older, he's going to be into place. When he's kind of, right at the twilight of his career, and he's saying, "Oh, I don't have a ring yet." What is happening?
Yeah.
So he's going to have to put that in consideration as well. And if I had to be a betting man, the Yankees probably will give him an opportunity to be year in and year out on an organization that will give him the best chance to have that ring, at some point during the course of his career. So he has to take that in consideration as well.
To me, I think it just comes down to money with Judge. I feel confident. I feel like You know, the Yankees are not going to be outbid. If they go back and forth with the Giants, so be it. But I feel like it's a two-team race. I can't see him as a Giant, just like I could not see you as a Boston Red Sox. Like, that would change history completely, and it would change history for Judge. So more than money is the cachet and the legacy and being a Yankee your whole career, right? You can speak to that. You understand what that is.
I give you the best example that I could ever have, which is, I mean, I really don't know a lot of the details, but I know enough to comment on the case with Robinson Cano. Mm-hmm. When he left the Yankees to play with the Seattle Mariners, I think he left because I think he was probably a little hurt that he had to go through this business aspect of the game with the team that, you know, he thought that put him in high regard, that he was going to get paid and he was not going to have a lot of trouble, you know, getting what he wanted. But once he didn't, you know, he felt like he was a little bit, you know, hurt by the organization, he left and he went to Seattle to play with them for, you know, obviously a lot more money than money that the Yankees were offering him. But I, you know, it's my very personal and humble opinion that Robinson's career would have been it would have had a different turn if he had remained a Yankee. And I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in hindsight, everybody's, you know, is a great quarterback. But I say that, you know, I decided to stay and my career, you know, couldn't have been any better. You know, after I won in 98, we won back in 99, we won back in 2000. And then we were in the series two other years, you know, 2001 and 2003, have the opportunity to be noticed and to be in a team that was relevant. I know those years. To me, it was more important than getting, you know, getting better paid. But that's a very, very individual decision that every player has to make on their own. I think, you know, looking at these two cases, you know, how their careers and my career developed. You know, I would say that, you know, Robinson would probably have an opportunity to be the best second baseman in the history of the Yankee organization, and he might have remained a Yankee. And I'm not trying to create any controversy here, but I think that I'm speaking from the heart. And I'm saying that, you know, Aaron may probably have an opportunity to be in that pantheon of players that you say, hey, you talk about Mantle, you talk about DiMaggio, you talk about Derek Jeter, you talk about Mariano. Aaron could be in that plateau as well, being, you know, part of this great organization. Maybe in hindsight, maybe it doesn't matter now because he's young and he feels like, you know, he can probably do a lot of things with his career. But I think in hindsight, in my particular, you know, opinion, that was the best decision that I ever made, you know, remaining a Yankee and having an opportunity to play in all those championships and being in the mix year in and year out. That's what you play for as a player. And Aaron has a great opportunity to have that, for his career.
Bernie, again, you did have the opportunity to at least think about what it would look like if you were in another uniform. And, you know, Aaron went out to San Francisco and he visited with the Giants. You went through that. I mean, you talked with the Red Sox, you talked with the Diamondbacks, I think, too, right? Buck was managing Arizona. I think they offered you number 51 before they gave it to Randy Johnson a couple of weeks later. What were those visits like? And from that perspective, I had an agent tell me that once a player and his family start envisioning the idea of playing somewhere else, that's a tough thing to start walking back because you start mentally and visually putting yourself there and thinking, okay, oh, what happens if I play in Boston? What happens if I play in Arizona? What happens if I play in San Francisco? What do you remember about those visits that, you know, and the pitch that the other teams were making to you?
There were great offers. And I had a little bit of an even more difficult task with Diamondbacks because, I grew up with Buck Showalter. And he was very instrumental in making me the player that I became as a switch hitter, you know, in the organization, knowing me and knowing he was almost like going from the Yankees to a place that you know, the person knew who I was and knew what I, you know, was going to bring to the table. So that made it, you know, it made it a lot harder for me to make that decision, you know, and especially upon me, playing in Arizona. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like warm, you know, every, you know, the whole year around, you know, it's great playing conditions. You know, the organization was, you know, top notch. But at the end of the day, I realized that my allegiances, as you know, emotionally, spiritually, and whatever you may want to call it, I wanted to remain a Yankee. And that was the one thing that sort of, you know, led my thinking, saying, okay, I want to be able to see all these opportunities. But I think after I've seen everything that I've seen, I kind of want to stay. I don't think the grass is going to be greener on the other side. I think I want to remain a Yankee. And I had to, you know, go through all the steps that I went through to, you know, for both sides. I mean, the Yankees have to come back and I have to come back and renew conversations. And I think, you know, it worked well for both sides. You know, we had an opportunity to be a championship caliber team years after I re-signed with them, and I was part of that great run. So it worked out great for both parts.
Another two-part question. One, you know, how much did your teammates play into that decision, right? Running it back with the same guys that you already won with, that you already went to battle with, that you're familiar with them and their families? Because I think that's going to play into this with Judge. The Yankees went out and signed Anthony Rizzo right away, and we all know that that's like one of his good friends on the team. And there's, you know, a handful of other guys because he's only been with the Yankees. And the second question isn't a Judge question, but a Harrison Bader question, right? Because the Yankees made that trade to go get Harrison Bader to play center field. Judge had to play center field some this past year. He's not going to have to do that next year. Like, he can stay right there in right field, short porch, Judge's chambers. So two-part question, how much did your teammates play into that? And, you know, what do you think about Harrison Bader in center field for the Yankees?
Well, I think, you know, the teammates are going to play a big role, especially when you have been in an organization that you have sort of grown with these guys. And you already have this rapport of being the face of the team. You know, it's, you know, you're a leader in that team. You know, Aaron is a leader in that team. And a lot of people, a lot of the young players look up to him, you know, for that leadership. And I think he took that role, you know, almost like a captain type. You know, he was kind of like the face of the team.
He's going to get that.
He was always saying the right things and had a great relationship with the teammates that he had. Even the people that came from other teams, you know, were able to assimilate that system in great part because of Aaron's attitude and the way that he went about his business on a daily basis. So I think that but that he could probably establish his way of playing and his way of going about his business on another team. So he's going to have teammates and they're going to look up to him, and it's going to be the whole thing repeating itself again. The fact that he has done it with the Yankees, that he already has that in place, could be an important part of his decision making. As far as Bader, it's another thing. You know, he's a promising young player that is going to come in and take a lot of that wear and tear of the playing center field, from Aaron. And he, you know, he's an all-star caliber, gold glove caliber right fielder, which is, you know, takes a lot less, his defensive, although right field in Yankee Stadium, it's actually pretty hard to play too. I mean, I remember Paul O'Neill making a living out of playing that ball off the wall, throwing somebody out in second base, and he had to work on that every single day. But I think, you know, his body constitution, you know, the way that he's, you know, has been able to be durable during the course of the season, he goes in walls, he dives in head first. I mean, wherever he plays in the outfield, he's going to play his hardest, and he's going to give it 100%. But the fact that he's going to be able to concentrate and be a right fielder and not really worry about, you know, where he's going to play, whether he's going to be center or left, I think it has to be something that will give him a little bit of peace of mind, because he's going to know that he's going to be in one position and one position only. Whether he's going to be DHing or playing right field, he knows where he's going to be. And that should give him a little bit more peace of mind, you know, when he's making that decision as well.
Bernie, I have just one more for you. You mentioned captain. We've talked about Don Mattingly already. This weekend, Don Mattingly has a chance to be elected to the Hall of Fame. 16-person committee, needs 12 votes. Listen, I think all of us would love to see Donnie get in, and I don't even want to ask you if you think he should be in or not. That's not even important. I would love to hear your favorite Don Mattingly story. You spent a few years with him in your formative years in the clubhouse playing with him. You still call him Cap every time you see him. What's your favorite Don Mattingly story?
Well, it's kind of hard because I think that there is like the sum of the parts of watching him struggle later in his career with his back and being able to play the game that he played, that series that he played, the last series that he played in Toronto, knowing that he was as hurt as he was, because I saw him every day in the training room, you know, and playing the way that he played. I mean, that was inspirational. That was, you know, the kind of stuff that cements your legacy as one of the badass dudes, man. And you kind of modeled your career after a person like that. But even that, you know, because that's the way that he approached the game on a daily basis. And that was a given. You know, he told me so many nuggets of great advice, you know, through the years, you know, going from, I don't care what you do the night before, but you just come here ready to play every day, you know, from that to really taking me under his wing and protecting me as a young player, because the attitude and the culture that was on the team in the early 90s was one culture that was not good for young players. It was not good, you know, I have to say it. You know, we had a lot of veterans that were, you know, going after, you know, numbers, and there was not a lot of cohesiveness in the clubhouse. And he was doing the best that he could to try to keep that team together. But as a young player coming in, you know, with the likes of Mel Hall and all, you know, all those guys that were like really old school, I kid and tough love because I care. He was the one guy that said, hey, lay off that rookie. And then he was the one that took me in, you know, one day on a bus ride, you know, from Milwaukee, you know, from County Stadium to the hotel and say to me, hey, don't let these guys, you know, take your game away from you. You're here for a reason. And these are the things that you need to do to be able to get to the next level. And I have plenty of confidence in you. You're a great player. You've got great raw ability, but you need to concentrate in these certain things, you know, being here on time, you know, working hard every day, you know, not taking everything for granted, all of those things that he told me, you know. And then I had a great opportunity. The last year that he was there, we were in a plane ride back to New York after we got eliminated in Seattle. And he said, hey, this is the first year that you've hit 300. And I have a feeling that it's not going to be the last year that you hit 300. This is just the way you roll. And between him and Willie Randolph, man, they were just so instrumental in my, you know, just keeping me in line, making sure that I took care of business on the field, and then everything else would fall into place. But Don Mattingly, his whole career to me was an example and on how to be a Yankee, how to be a Major League Baseball player, and how to be a winner. You know, I have nothing but great things to say about him.
Keith, anything else you think we should let Bernie roll?
No, that's great. The only thing I was going to add, you know, with Donnie Baseball, he just did an interview on MLB Network where he said he thought he was going to be out of baseball this year, right? He's done with the Marlins, and Yankees fans were saying, hey, bring him up here. The Toronto Blue Jays beat him to it, I guess, and they offered him a bench coach job, so now the Yankees will be facing him. He'll be in Toronto. I didn't think he wanted to live in New York after being in Miami, but he's down to go live in Canada, so... I wish him the best, and thank you so much, Bernie. The last thing I wanted to add, one of the highlights of my year was you reaching out, you know, coming on WFAN and then inviting me to play in your softball game. I thought I was going to be terrible. I hit a home run. My wife got it on video, and we won the game, and it was just a blast. You signed my jersey.
You have youth on your side, man. You have youth on your side.
Yeah, for now.
You're a young whippersnapper, man.
And I'll be back next year if you invite me back.
Old, he'll dump you just like every other GM does, right? Man.
I got like five more years to play.
Dude, man, you're great, man. You got open invitation every time you want to come, man. We really enjoy having you there. And, you know, all you bring to New York now in this great endeavor. So thank you so much for keeping all these fans in the know and getting them to talk, you know, about, you know, the things that we care about. So, you know, you guys are doing a great job, man. Keep it up.
Bernie, it's always a pleasure. You've always been one of my favorites to be around. You're always thoughtful when we ask you questions, and people who just listen to you speak about this. Just get an example of what I was able to, you know, just absorb from you in the clubhouse. In good times and bad, you always had something thoughtful to say. So I always appreciated that from you, and I want to thank you for that up front with you. People can go to TuneIntoLungHealth.com, and you'll see Bernie's latest endeavor. IPF is idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. It's a lung disease that took Bernie's father back in 2001, and raising awareness has just been part of Bernie's mission for these last several years through music and through talking about baseball and everything else. Listen, the only other thing, you have another album in the works anytime soon? What are you thinking here?
I'm working on some music, you know, trying to get this knee situation out of the way. Yeah. But the good thing about it is that it's giving me an opportunity to play a lot of guitar. So
sure,
I am putting some music together, and an album is on the works, and it's hopefully coming soon.
I can't wait. We can't wait. And we'll be there.
This great, even when I was playing, we always talk about musicians, you know, always talk about music outside of what we needed to talk, you know, as far as baseball. But we always have that great rapport, man. And I really appreciated you. And I appreciate your support, you know, all these years, man. And you and your family have been just great. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Anytime. We'll be there the next time. Tell us where and when, and we'll see you. And I'm sure we'll see you on a softball field later this summer when that knee finishes rehabbing. You'll be flying past all of us. Can't wait to see it.
All right, man. Thank you so much, bro.
Bernie, thanks a lot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.